right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. 8 o'clock, hour number two coming up. December 1st, we made it to December. Rubik's Kubelik coming next segment. We got to get into the SEC championship talk here with David Pollack of ESPN first. Tell you about not getting caught in the cold. Chilly this morning. Schedule your system checkup from a Trane Comfort specialist. You know you can always count on a Trane home comfort system. That's why Trane is America's most reliable and trusted brand in HVAC. And they're our official heating and cooling partner at Jocks. Visit Trane.com to find a comfort specialist near you. And remember, it's hard to stop a Trane. David Pollack of ESPN with us now on the Bud Light Hotline. David, I wanted to get into this SEC championship game with you. What is the recipe for any team, and then specifically LSU, to be able to find some success on offense against this Georgia football team?
I think it would start, obviously, with Jaden Daniels and his ability to run the football. And I know he got banged up a little bit last week, so his health will be a big concern. But I think he's going to be okay. But it all starts with him. His ability to scramble around, his ability to run the football. I think, you've watched it, Cole. They're not good enough on the offensive line to just push Georgia around and smack them around. That's just not going to happen. They're going to have to bring the QB run game into it. They're going to have to create some balance with Embry. And I think that if they can do that, then, you've got Neighbors on the outside. You've got Boutte. Like, you've got some pieces and some playmakers off of it, and you have that RPO game off of it. So it'll start with Jaden Daniels, I think, running the football.
David, what about the Georgia offense, which has had moments where they've looked unstoppable, and they've had moments where it's like, can't quite figure it out. I feel like they kind of, when they want to be good, they can be, but it's not like they want to be all the time. It's just an odd deal. What do you make of the Georgia offense, which does have a little stop and start to them?
Yeah, I think what you said, it's very streaky, and I think the last several weeks it's been on the downturn of the streak. I think they're, you know what, Greg, it reminds me of where they were last year, right before the playoffs, towards the end of the season. I don't feel like when I'm watching, and again, I'm not talking to coaches, I'm just saying when I'm watching them, I don't feel like they really, really trust themselves to drop back and throw the ball 20, 30 times. Like, it feels like they're desperate to get the running game going. They don't want to throw it too much. And I think Stetson, he's hot and cold too, and he gets in a slump. Now, he's been big in big games. We can definitely say that, about Stetson Bennett throughout his career the last year. But I think it's an offense that's up and down. I think it's an offense that's not consistent, running the football. But just like last year, you had, Zamir White, James Cook. This year, you got McIntosh, you got Milton, you got Edwards. You kind of got a host of backs. I think A.D. Mitchell, coming back this week, A.D. Mitchell being a receiver out wide that can win, that you can trust a lot more, that you can throw to, that has a little more size to him, I think could help this offense. But I definitely think this offense isn't near, humming like we saw it at stretches earlier in the season.
When I watch this LSU team, the strengths that you see offensively, you mentioned Jaden Daniels being able to run, obviously creates an extra gap, extra person that you have to defend. The way that they spread you out, some of the quick-hitting throws that can turn into explosive plays, the catch after run, does that have to get going, that part of this LSU offense, to be able to find any success against Georgia?
100%. I mean, it's not an offense that you're going to feel comfortable with, dropping your quarterback back in the pocket and say, all right, Jaden, go through 1, 2, and 3 and make a great decision. I don't think he's that guy that wants to do that. I think he needs to make a quick decision, pull the trigger, or he needs to run the football. I'd love to see him when he takes off and scrambles. I'd love to see him keep his eyes down the field a little bit more too and be able to make some of those scramble drill plays that you see some like Caleb Williams, do on the regular. He's got a special ability to create. So they're not an offense that is going to be the Joe Burrow where he's going to sit there and process. So it's got to be quick hitting. It's got to be get the ball to Neighbors and do break tackles, make plays. It's got to be that kind of extra effort, guys being playmakers, making people miss, doing a lot of damage on their own.
Who right now outside of Brock Bowers do you trust the most in the passing game?
Ladd. I think
it's kind of a one trick pony though, isn't he? Not a bad way. Trick's pretty good, but it just doesn't feel, I don't know. I don't feel as good about their offenses or their weapons as I did earlier in the year either.
Yeah, and I get that. I think you know, Aaron Smith is a guy that's a burner. He's you talk about a one trick pony. He's a deep guy. You know, 11. He's good. I think, you know, Darnell Washington, I've trusted him more, but you've also seen some drops out of the big fella, out of Big O. Again, A.D. Mitchell coming back, I think, is a big deal because I would trust him the most with route running, with his hands. I think he's really, really good. I tell you what, the guy I trust, you talk about the most to make plays, would be the guy out of the backfield, McIntosh, 6. Like, he makes plays. He is a James Cook on steroids from a year ago. He's got more juice than Cook, and you can throw him on the perimeter. He can run routes on the perimeter. You saw against Georgia Tech, he had a 90-yard reception or 80-something yard reception in that ball game. So I think he's a guy that you could focus on more too. But I don't think the playmakers out wide are, you know, they're not like LSU's. You look at LSU, you got a couple guys out guy that can scare the absolute piss out of you. But I do think Ladd's really good. I think Ladd is open a lot. I think he gets open a lot. I think he runs really good routes. I think he's a good playmaker with the ball in his hands. You know, but he went through a slump this season too with dropping punts and dropping balls. And so I don't think they're, you know, elite out wide. But what they do offensively, and y'all know this with the tight ends, they don't really have to be all the time with what they do with their tight ends.
David Pollack of ESPN joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Last question that I have with you as it pertains to Georgia. I felt like you had the epitome of an eraser at inside linebacker last year. Does it matter, and does Georgia have that kind of a guy at the second and third level of the defense this year?
I tell you what, I've been super impressed with Bullard this year. He's been a guy that can do a lot of different things. I think Ringo's playing better than he ever has been. I think he's had some great moments. Is he going to get beat? Yeah, he's going to get beat. But I think Ringo, you can trust in playing man coverage. I think the good thing about this secondary is I think Kirby's going to anyways, right? They're going to play man, and they're going to trust their guys. But Bullard is a guy that you see now that, you know, had a couple sacks against Tennessee, that you bring him off the edge, has a lot of speed. He's a guy that, you know, when you talk about chasing Jaden Daniels, you know, JDJ in the middle, you know, Pop is a really good player. I like him in the middle. I think he's number 10. You watch him, he can fly around. I think he's a really good player. But I also think that N'Kobe Dean benefited greatly from Jordan Davis and Devontae Wyatt and Trayvon Walker and Nolan Smith and those guys as well. So I don't think they're the defense they were a year ago, but I still think they're the best defense that's going to be in the college football playoff, and they're going to present the most problems to offenses when they face them.
What about just where Kirby's at right now? He's done such a great job of adjusting and making sure that the roster doesn't get complacent. I know there's so many new faces this year, but in a year in which so many teams have been insanely inconsistent, how is it that they've been able to, for the most part, put their best foot forward on a week-to-week basis?
I think Kirby does it differently than a lot of people. And what Kirby does differently, like just like the NIL stuff. The NIL stuff for Kirby means guys that have really done something for your program. You know, I don't know that it's going to be a bunch of guys that are coming into high school right now. And I know it's going to be done some. I'm not saying not at all. But I think he puts a really big premium on, when you've done something, you capitalize on your name, image, and likeness. When you come in and you grind and you make plays, like, you deserve to get what you're going to get. But I think the way he talks to him and the way he's handled, you know, NIL and the new breed of players that have to deal, and you have to deal with transfer portals and all this stuff that's outside of it. I mean, Kirby's just kind of like, listen, dude, this is how we're going to do things. You know, we're going to practice hard. We're going to be physical. We're going to be tough. Like, you're going to get what you're going to get, but you got to go earn it. And I think it served him really well. And I think that's why Georgia's at where they're at. I think he's done an unbelievable job of handling the new wave of kids and morphing, you know, defensively. He's also morphed and changed. And I think he's been willing to do some of that stuff. And I think it's paid off big time.
But what about, how is he continuing to be able to recruit at a super high level when everyone else is saying, well, the only way to get good guys nowadays is to basically talk with their agent and make sure they're getting a number that they like and that they're getting what they want in NIL. That's what every single coach is telling us, and it sounds like that's not the way Kirby's doing it. So how is he able to recruit top guys if he's not going by way of the NIL?
Well, don't get it twisted. He's going to take care of guys too. Like, but I just think that I think if you talk to Kirby and you spend time with him, I think you'll realize that it's more about the guys that have done it and earned it and really put in their time. And he's going to hold their feet to the fire, and he's going to make them work. And he's not going to be, you know, he's not going to be deterred by people saying that they're going to get in the transfer portal. Like, there's going to be a standard. You're going to do it like this. And if you don't do it like this, if you want to leave, then you can leave. But I think when you, you know, Greg, it's also easier too when you've built, you know, when you've done what you've done this last year, and now you've done this with another back-to-back, you know, undefeated season. I think it makes it easier. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying he's not doing what everybody else is doing and paying kids to come to school. I just think that he might be doing it on a different level of, I think he's also going to take care of the kids that really do a good job and earn it.
David Pollack of ESPN joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. I want to shift gears, get away from the SEC championship game. I think TCU K-State has a chance to be a classic, just an incredible game. Kansas State makes a change at quarterback, and I think everybody thought they would fall off the face of the earth, and it's actually maybe gotten better since that change has taken place. TCU has just been on cruise control. How dangerous is this matchup for TCU as far as staying undefeated in the Big 12 title game?
I think it's super dangerous. You know, you mentioned Will Howard. He's been really, really good. And he's brought an element to this offense that's different, and it's unique because he can throw the football and make plays. Listen, Adrian Martinez can make plays, but most of the time, you know, his plays were made with his legs. And, you know, Will Howard has come in and kind of changed their offense, and they're willing to throw the football more. And you've seen them be, you know, super aggressive. And I think, you know, listen, they're always going to – Kansas State's so awesome to watch every year, and it hasn't mattered – you know, whether Snyder was there or not, like, they're going to be physical, they're going to be tough, they're going to not beat themselves. But the crazy thing about them is, you know, Will Howard, he was supposed to not play this year. Like, he was supposed to redshirt and be the quarterback of the future for next year. And he's forced into duty, and what does he do? He just goes bananas. I mean, guys, he's only played in, I think, 5 games this season. He has as many yards as Adrian Martinez had throwing. So, like, it just kind of shows you it's just a different offense with him being able to throw the football down the field, be more aggressive, be more of a playmaking offense. You know, 13 touchdowns in that short stint. Adrian Martinez had 6 in the beginning of the season. So opens up the offense a little bit more. You know, Deuce Vaughn obviously is a big part of what they're doing. But I think Kansas State can win because they're a little bit more dynamic offensively than they were. But they're beat up in the secondary. It's going to be an interesting game because TCU is a heck of a story. And, Greg, you were on it before the season. I remember, you know, hearing you talk about TCU and, you know, them being a surprise team this year. I don't know if you thought they were going to be this good.
I'd love to take credit for having them in the playoff or something. No, I just thought they'd win like 9 games. I didn't think 12-0 was likely.
But we actually made fun of him saying TCU. Greg thinks TCU is going to the playoff because of how much he liked them.
TCU and Kansas State in the Big 12. They just killed me all season. I had TCU and Kansas State, and they just killed me.
We also had Nebraska winning 10. So we'll stay away from that.
Nebraska winning 9. I did like Nebraska.
But how cool has TCU been, like, just from a standpoint of you change your offense, you know, you change your whole system in a year, it's able to click like that. And listen, we everybody knew Quentin Johnson was an animal, but, you know, Kentrell Miller now is an absolute freak. And I don't think people talk about him enough. Like, he is unbelievable. I mean, you know, he squats over 600 pounds, and you can tell when people tackle him, they bounce off of him, and he's a fast, freaky Friday guy. Johnson's a freaky Friday guy. You got Davis, who's a freaky athlete on the outside. I mean, they've got some serious, serious weapons to go along with some big bodies out wide and big body tight end. Like, that offense is going to be interesting to watch because it's going to be a problem for just about everybody they play.
So we think that the Pac-12 championship game has a chance to go both ways as well. If TCU and USC lose this weekend, what's going to happen?
TCU's still in, and I think Ohio State gets in for USC.
Just so weird. I can't view Ohio State that way. I know it's me, and it's a lot of other people do. The committee obviously
loves
them.
A lot of people don't know what they're talking
about. But, I mean, do you think that that's a benefit of their schedule and just what they've done, or do you truly believe Ohio State is one of the best 4 teams in America if USC were to go down?
Well, I mean, if you watch Ohio State last week, obviously your opinion changed. Here's what I've thought all year long. I'm sitting there, I have a workout group every day at 12, and all we do is talk football just like everybody else in the world. And I'm like, Ohio State's just not tough. They're not physical. And then, you know, then you see the Michigan game and they kind of get, you know, punched right in the mouth again and physically didn't have an answer. And I don't know how great they are on the offensive line. But here's the thing, Cole, when you watch USC, do you see USC as a complete team that's a dominant team that you're going to? That team needs to be in over Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think this year TCU deserves to be in. Like, Alabama, Georgia and Michigan and TCU, I think regardless of whether they lose this weekend, are in, because you got to look at everything else around. I mean, you go down the list and you start trying to find teams. This isn't like it's been in the past where you've got, you know, multiple really, really good teams to point to. You got three good teams, and you got a couple teams that you go, okay, I see some promise with great quarterback play, inconsistent defense, kind of good teams, but I don't necessarily think they're great teams. But I will say this, USC, they're not going to lose to Utah. So USC is going to be in the playoff. They're not losing to Utah again. That's not going to happen. But Caleb Williams will be fun to watch, and he will be absolute box office because he does some of the most crazy, insane things. He's Houdini. You know, he's Steph Curry. He just makes magic happen at an unbelievable rate, and he'll be fun to watch. So I don't think we're going to have a lot of drama because I think USC is going to handle business.
Most likely. David, great stuff, man. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it, and definitely look forward to catch up with you again soon. Hey, maybe start to get some workouts in your 12 o'clock workout group instead of just talking football.
I'm going to try.
Yeah.
Get
a little bench press in.
Get a little work in, keep up with my offensive lineman and my quarterback that's over there.
There you go. Love it. Thanks, David. We'll catch up soon.
All right, guys.
Later.
David Pollack of ESPN joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there. So we've got some interesting matchups coming up this weekend. And I think there are a couple of these that could be really competitive. He thinks USC just cruises. I think it can be competitive. Obviously, if the turnovers don't go USC's way, if the ground game gets going for Utah, I think that game sort of changes shape. Utah turns it over a little bit. It gets into a bit of a track meet. Then, yes, USC could run away with it. I think K-State TCU could just be a phenomenal football game. Just maybe an all-timer. That's the way I'm seeing that game right now as far as the Big 12 championship game.
I think it's going to be really good. I think Utah-SC is going to be close, too. I just think last time around, SC, yeah, they didn't have an answer at all for Cam Rising. I mean, none. The guy went for 470 yards of offense. I mean, he had 415 through the air and 60 on the ground, and quarterback scramble just killed him. Had 60 yards on quarterback scrambles, man. So I don't know. I look at everything that SC is, and if you play against a smart football team, and I do think Utah's smart. Say what you want about Utah. I'm just not convinced they're a team that's going to put the ball on the deck or potentially put them in a position where they could, you know, turn it over. I don't know. I kind of lean towards Utah on that one just a little bit. We'll see, but something definitely to keep an eye on. Obviously, championships on the line. Well, the championship for GMC has already been determined. It's gone to our friends at Bill Smith Buick GMC. They've won the championship not once, but twice. They are the national champions. That's right. Two-time GMC Dealer of the Year, and they just recently, just probably 6 months ago, they got Buick's Dealer of the Year award as well. It's because you have a better experience when you shop with Bill Smith and you have the best deals on the lot. Like right now, a 2022 GMC Sierra 1500 Denali, $76,730 is the list price, $69,995 is the sale price. That deal is ridiculous. And you know, when you go up there, you can check out their used car superstore, or you can go check out all their new cars. There's no inventory like the inventory you get at Bill Smith Buick GMC right up there in Coleman, up I-65, Highway 31, or you could shop online, have it delivered right to your driveway at BillSmithBuickGMC.com.
You might hear some of those turnover numbers in the Pac-12 championship game when we go to the Rubik's Cubic in our next segment. But first, we'll go to Brian in Trustville, wants to talk college football playoff. Welcome in, Brian.
Hey, guys. I haven't been able to listen. Y'all are out of range. I'm driving today. So if y'all talked about this, just forgive me. But
we're on the app.
There's a scenario that with a playoff that I hadn't heard anybody talking about. Maybe I'm way off. Y'all tell me if I am. But if USC and TCU both lose, which could happen, I mean, Ohio State's in, they would be three, and I'm not, then the conversation is Alabama versus TCU and their resumes, right? I mean, am I missing something there?
Yeah, and Pollock just said he thinks TCU's in either way. So,
Okay, I missed it. All right,
I think that that's probably
most likely.
I think it's most likely from the committee. I don't know if I necessarily feel exactly that way. I it would be hard for me to think about where Alabama and Tennessee are that you're going to drop TCU all the way below all of those teams. So because the committee does respect Kansas State right now, that helps.
Yes.
So it's an interesting scenario.
For me, it would just be the fact that TCU, you know, didn't win their conference. Alabama doesn't win their conference.
Sure.
And so then it's just what you know, look at the losses, you know, which one has the worst loss. Like if TCU gets blown out, I think that opens the door.
No, I think that changes a little bit of the conversation.
I think if they get blown out, it's one thing. But here's the other thing that kind of is it's a weird thing because of how the Big 12 does their roundabout schedule. They do a round robin format, right, where you play everybody. TCU's already beaten Kansas State. So if Kansas State beats TCU here, it actually – Kansas State will move up, making the loss not that bad, right? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's one of those weird situations where TCU can be both strengthened and hit by a team that they've already beat. So basically, if Kansas State beats them, then that win over Kansas State a few weeks ago gets better, right? And then the loss also improves. So it's like one of those weird things where I don't know if TCU is going to ultimately be affected by it. It's going to be a net neutral to me when the committee analyzes it. So I think Kent State's going to win the game.
It would have to be. It would have to be for them to maintain that four. I mean, they would just sit. They wouldn't move.
Here's the other thing too. Like I still think they'll make it. I don't think they're going to put a two-loss Bama team in over TCU. I don't. I'd be surprised. Maybe they will. I have a hard time seeing it. I'm sure they won't. But the penalty is now you got to go play Georgia. Like you're still getting penalized. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I mean, it's like, hey, you get to play Georgia in Atlanta. Congratulations, right? There's still a downside to losing. You're still in the playoff ultimately, but you are penalized. So we'll see. I mean, I think it's going to be an interesting conversation, but you could, in that situation, obviously get a rematch between Ohio State and Michigan too. So it is going to be really interesting, I think, this weekend, because I think TCU is going to lose. I also think SC is going to lose. So we'll see. It's going to be really interesting.
Damien and Cole with their predictions later in the week.
Well, I reserve the right to change my mind, but if I had to pick it right now,
stay tuned for Damien and Cole's predictions on the games this weekend.
If I had to pick a gun to head, I really believe that upsets, there's going to be two this weekend. Okay. It ain't going to be in Big Ten. It ain't going to be in the SEC.
No, Big Ten, we're not going to have a ton of conversation on that one. I feel like that one will take care of itself. I do think the Southeastern Conference Championship game has a chance to be more competitive than a lot of people believe. Everyone just saying this can be, 17, 21, 24-point game. I understand what the A&M game looked like for LSU, but there are pieces of how LSU operates that could be dangerous. That's all I'm going to say. And I understand certain podcast hosts in the state of Georgia don't like that and can't deal with that, but that's the reality. We will discuss.
According to certain podcast hosts and certain Georgia folks in general, there's no point in anyone else even showing up to play the games. It's already decided. Like, the fact that they're even talking
even know
about
why South Carolina showed up in Clemson. Last
the
week.
Fact that they've even spent time talking.
Why
about...
Why did Michigan even go to the Horseshoe last week?
Honestly, I don't understand why Michigan would go to the Horseshoe. That game had no chance of being close. Like, it's as if the banner already is hung up in Sanford Stadium. And I'm just telling you, as someone that has thought that a championship is a foregone conclusion, it's not. This is not going to be as easy as they think it might be. That's my anticipation. Because everyone thinks TCU is just going to get, hey, you know what, we're just little old TCU. We're just glad to be here. I'm telling y'all, mess around with TCU. Go ahead. Mess around with them. You're going to learn. I'm telling you. Those cats can play now.
Okay, when we come back, we know who Greg is picking in a couple of games this weekend. Who do the computers like in a couple of games this weekend? The Rubik's Cubic. Next, brought to you by Resurface Pros. Right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light,
April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. If anxiety is an issue for you or your pet, head over to Your CBD Store. Arthritis, an issue for you or your pet, Your CBD Store can help. Largest brick and mortar CBD retailer in the world. They focus their attention on being the best plant sciences company out there. Your CBD Store, first company to have USDA certified organic oil supplements. They've got the stamp seal on the products. If you're looking for a better night's sleep, if you're looking to focus better at certain points in time throughout your day, Your CBD Store has products that can help now. Also, weight loss, the Trim by SunMed, it's in stock now. Revolutionary new line of products in weight loss sciences. They've got it all right there. Even your skin regimen, they have products that can help you with that at Your CBD Store. Check out one of their four locations, Highway 280 by Bailey Brothers, 150 by the Cage in Cleaver, Trussville just off 459, and now downtown in Five Points. Your CBD Store, where good health hits home. We bring it to you each and every week. The botanists, the biologists, the rocket scientists help us decide who will win games. It's the Rubik's Cube, brought to you by Resurface Pros. Don't replace resurface. Countertops, tubs, tile. They can look brand new at a fraction of the cost of replacing. Call today, 205-421-5035. If you have cracks or chips in your tile, don't worry. Their team can repair and resurface damaged cracks. You don't have to spend thousands replacing your tub or countertops. Call 205-421-5035 for Resurface Pros today. All right, let's get it going with one that not many people care about, the ACC Championship game, Clemson and North Carolina. Plug it in. Seven p.m. Saturday on ABC from Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. No advantage for home field. Clemson None. Runs for 188.
Don't you know that the Bank of America Stadium is Clemson's home away from home?
Pretty much.
Fair so enough. It should be at least a half point in favor of the Tigers.
Not according to our biologist.
Oh.
188 to 160 on the ground advantage Clemson. North Carolina allows 170 rushing yards per game.
Oh, boy.
Clemson allows 100. That's 10th in the nation. North Carolina's 13th in the ACC advantage Tigers. Now, North Carolina's plus two. Clemson's minus two. Advantage North Carolina. 66 flags for 584 yards for Clemson. 78 flags for 694 yards for North Carolina. Oh, the penalties there for North Carolina have been a little bit of an issue. Third down conversions, 48% for Clemson. That's second in the ACC, 46 for North Carolina. Slight edge to the Tigers there. Now, Clemson allows opponents to convert on 34% of their third downs. Pretty good. Pretty good there. North Carolina allows opponents to convert 41% of the time on third down.
It's not that bad.
It's not that good.
Not that good, but it's not that bad.
By a margin of plus three, the Rubik's Cubic likes Clemson to win the ACC championship game.
Little old Clemson.
Still going.
Rubik's Cubic's, don't worry, Rubik's Cubic's like below 500 this year.
That is not accurate.
If you like North Carolina, you still got a chance. On the year. 22 and 17 straight up.
Let's go out west.
Yeah, he's mad.
Pac-12 championship game. Plug it in. Last week, hit Michigan, hit Bama.
Oh, boy.
Missed on Notre Dame.
Keeping receipts.
Missed on South Carolina.
Ah,
you're looking for
the South Rubik's Carolina would have been a tough one. I don't know if anybody could have picked that.
23-19 Sorry. It's not been a great year. That's why we fire people left and right.
Yes. Yes. Next up is the person that presents the information. He's next on the chopping block.
Game is in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. No home field advantage there.
None, son.
Utah rushes for 220 a game. That's 10th best in the country. USC 184. Advantage Utes. The Utes give up 142, or I'm sorry, the Trojans give up 142 a game on the ground. The Utes give up 111. Advantage Utah. Now, Utah plus 7 in the turnovers. It's pretty good.
Not good enough.
Pretty good. When you think about going plus 7 in turnover margin, would tie you for 21st best in the country. Best in the country is the University of Southern California at plus 22. Folks, they have lost 4 turnovers this year.
Four total.
One fumble.
Mama.
They have lost 1 fumble on the year. That is amazing. What's not amazing is that USC has 79 penalties for 736 yards. 10th best in the Pac-12. The best team as it pertains to penalties in the Pac-12, that's Utah. 54 for 493.
I'm sure you're shocked by that.
Yeah.
Discipline Dylan over here. Right.
Yeah. USC, 55% on third down conversions. That's second best in the Pac-12, second best in the country. Utah's at 50%, which is really good. It's not quite as good as Southern Cal. Now, USC allows opponents to convert on 43% of their third downs. Utah allows opponents to convert on just 31% of their third downs. That's the best third down defense in the Pac-12. By a margin of plus 2, the rocket scientists select, I'm going to double check this receipt, Utah to knock off USC in the Pac-12 championship.
I like it.
Oh, boy.
I don't have a problem with that one at all.
It's the computers.
Of course.
That's all it is. And McElroy. He's already given his predictions.
No problems with that one.
Let's go to the Big 12. Plug it in.
Rubik's Cubelic.
Rubik's Cubelic.
Rubik's Cubelic.
Game in Dallas, no advantage. K-State 210 on the ground, TCU 199. 143 and 145 a game on the ground allowed. No offset there. K-State plus 13 in the turnovers. Fourth best in the nation. TCU, not bad, plus 10, tied for 8th in the nation. 64 flags for 526 yards for K-State, 56 for 564 for TCU. Slight edge to TCU. TCU 43% on third down, K-State 40, advantage TCU. Both teams allow exactly 36% of their third downs defended to be converted. We go to the mythical final option statistical analysis, and by a margin of plus 1, the Rubik's Cubelic selects TCU to knock off Kansas State and stay undefeated and enter the college football playoff. That's the computers, though. Computers take that. All right, let's finally get to the SEC championship game. Damian, plug it in.
Rubik's Cubelic.
Rubik's Cubelic.
Rubik's Cubelic.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, no advantage there. 203 a game on the ground for Georgia, 192 for LSU, advantage dogs. LSU allows 144 a game on the ground, Georgia, 79.
Can't hear you.
79.
Gotcha.
144 surprise you?
Yes. Got off to a slow start. That's first in the SEC, and that's first in all of college football. Now, LSU plus 1 in the turnovers, Georgia minus 2. Advantage, Tigers. Georgia, 54 flags, 566 yards. LSU, 76 for 649. Now, LSU converts 49% of their third downs. That's 11th best in all of college football. Second best in the SEC. First in the SEC, fifth in college football, will be Georgia at 51%. Advantage, Bulldogs. LSU allows opponents to convert 39% of the time. Georgia, 26% of the time. That's third best in college football by a margin of...
That's just because they played Kentucky.
Plus 3.5. Well, if you wanted to
all
go...
All those numbers are just inflated because they played Kentucky.
That's what it is.
They did only play three offenses inside the top 75. So take that for what you will. We'll discuss that a little bit later. Take a break. Rubik's Cubic has Clemson plus three, Utah plus two, TCU plus one, Georgia plus 3.5. Rubik's Cubic brought to you by Resurface Pros. Don't replace resurface cracks or chips. Don't worry. Their team can repair and resurface damaged cracks so you don't have to spend thousands of dollars replacing your tub. Call or contact today. They can give you an estimate in 24 hours. 205-421-5035. Make your old tub and tile look brand new with Resurface Pros. 205-421-5035. Barstool Big Cat next on McElroy and Cubic in the morning.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Cubic in the morning. Are you saying that Big Cat is the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be by playing Bret Hart's music?
Not really. Just setting the song, just setting the scene.
We'll bring in Barstool Big Cat now on the Bud Light Hotline. I don't know if you're okay with the Bret Hart intro there, Big Cat, but we want to talk coaching maneuvers with you. Obviously, Wisconsin, a big one. Luke Fickell named head coach. That means Jim Leonard will not be head coach. Where are you on this move for the Badgers?
First of all, great to join you guys. I do appreciate the Bret Hart music. The best coaching hire this offseason. I know there's still some vacancies that need to be filled. It is the best, and I won't hear anyone say different. Luke Fickell to Wisconsin shocked me, and it's perfect. It's an A++ hire, home run. The Badgers are all the way back.
I feel like...
Go ahead, McElroy. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I really like it. I mean, I really like the hire. I'd be honest.
I know you do.
I want to shoot holes in it. I just can't.
You can't.
Biff Pogi coaches sleeveless, though.
Yeah. Biff would have been your guy.
Biff Pogi, the Charlotte head coach, he coaches without sleeves. Like, he cuts his sleeves off his shirt.
That's great, but we got a coach. We got a great coach. It's actually shocking to even say it out loud because I think you guys are just as shocked as I am where it's like there's nothing really to poke holes at. Like, that's a perfect fit.
No, I want to hate it.
The only thing you could possibly say negative is if Ohio State opens up, will he jump for that?
Yes.
I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, you don't know the answer to that. Come on.
No, I mean, I think Ohio State also has, you know, Brian Hartline feels like he's the coach in waiting there too. So they have Ohio State. They have a lot of guys. I just couldn't be happier. Like, Wisconsin feels like they are stepping into the future now and are going to be competitive at a different level than they've been the last 20 years, which has been a great level, but it hasn't been to the college football playoff.
Yeah, but it's going to be weird watching Wisconsin like play with athletes as opposed to like just trying to maul folks and win games 9-6. Like, isn't that kind of frustrating to you as a guy that has always appreciated trench play and oversized characters along both lines
Thomas
of scrimmage?
Is not an athlete.
He's going to do it. He's going to do a hybrid. It's going to be the same. We're going to maul people and just maul them more athletically, and then run a little bit faster. It's going to be the best of both worlds.
They're going to maul people 40 yards down the field, Greg.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the old Barry Alvarez when he took Wisconsin job. He's like, there's a lot of fat people in Wisconsin. We've got to keep them here. So I don't think he's letting anyone believe. He's just going to get a couple athletes on top of it.
I can get on board with that. I'm not too concerned about that. I think it's the second best hire in the Big Ten West for sure.
No, see, you're wrong. And you're doing that just because I'm on. You know that that's not true.
I actually kind of do like Matt Rhule. I think he's pretty good.
More than Luke Fickell?
Yes.
Okay.
Luke Fickell looks too much like Adam Sandler for me to think it's a good hire.
Oh, wow.
And Matt Rhule's a real looker.
I actually thought Matt Rhule always kind of looked a little bit like you, and I always thought you were a handsome man. So
thank you. Yeah, he's got like a little bit of a Vincent D'Onofrio kind of thing going on.
Yes. Matt Rhule looks like the guy that flew the helicopter in Lake Placid. I don't know the actor's name. I don't know that guy.
Lake Placid, the
giant alligator movie.
The alligator movie.
Yes.
Oh,
the guy,
boy.
The rich guy who brought his like alligator helicopter in there. It looks exactly like Matt Rhule.
The old.
So at least Fickle looks like a better actor.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, that's true. Can we talk for a second how Alabama should not be in the playoff and neither should Ohio State? The playoff should be set. This weekend shouldn't even matter.
Well, you know, Greg's not allowed to say Alabama shouldn't be
in
the playoff, but
I presented that.
The Ohio State argument we will gladly have with you here on the show. We've all made that point and would be behind you 100%.
I actually have defended, I would take Alabama over Ohio State, but I wouldn't take either. But I would take Alabama over Ohio State because I think that loss that Ohio State took was so resounding and they got punched in the mouth so hard. And Alabama, you know, maybe their wins aren't great because they have, you know, a road win against Texas, Ole Miss. But they also, their losses are like, you know, coin flip, losing on the last play of the game on the road is nothing to snuff at. So I think both those teams shouldn't be in, but I would take Alabama over Ohio State.
Are you going to invite... Perhaps, maybe after how things went for Ryan Day last week, is he invited to the next Rough and Rowdy against, say, I don't know, Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't want that. There's no one has ever been more correct when they said Ryan Day was born on third and thought he had a triple. When Jim Harbaugh said that last year, Ryan Day took over the New York Yankees, and he made them like the Toledo Mudhens. In a matter of 2 years.
Oh, it's crazy. The Toledo Mudheads.
I have a key to the city of Toledo, so I can say that.
That's a fair point. Actually, Doug's has a key to the city in Toledo.
I have. I personally do as well. The Ohio State, like, the way they had built it under Urban Meyer was never going to lose to Michigan. They were just never going to lose to Michigan. And then it's been his program for 3 years now, and he's already lost back-to-back to Michigan. It's shocking, and I know that he's a good coach, but I also understand, and you guys understand it better than anyone with SEC football, like, if you don't beat your rival, you can win 11 games, but if you keep losing your rival, the seat's going to get hot.
No doubt. Barstool Big Cat joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. This one could sting, but I'm going to ask you your thought here first. Over, under, keys to the city for Greg McElroy, 1.5. Which direction are you going?
Oh, I bet you he's over.
It's over.
He is over. He has two. So
where, I don't have Toledo,
Where is Big Cat on total keys to cities? He has two. Two keys to two cities.
Southlake, Texas, and Gadsden, Alabama.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I might start trying to collect keys to the city.
There you go.
I might just start trying to do some random things for random cities and see if they'll give me keys.
If you got to
what
say
cities
four,
on, like, I,
hold which, on. If you got like, to say four, would you do the belt clip key thing that the janitor has?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know about your keys, Greg, but mine's pretty nice, like a big glass.
They're really nice. They're really nice.
Yeah.
What about, I think you should go after, like, Santa Claus, Indiana, the home of Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler,
yeah. That's your guy.
Why not?
Or maybe you should go to Green Bay and see if you can't get one from Aaron Rodgers.
That would be, and then just, like, flush the key down the toilet in front of everyone. That would be good. Yeah, Rodgers is, he's such a jerk. That's aside. We're talking college football. He's a jerk, though.
We want to get your thoughts on the Hugh Freeze hire at Auburn because you made friends with a lot of Auburn fans the last couple of years, so we know they follow you closely. How do you grade this hire for the Auburn football program?
I mean, it's a great hire because he's a great coach, and it was the stat, you know, that he's the only active SEC head coach to beat Nick Saban twice. That's why he got hired. I'm just happy that a guy can get a second chance or a third or a fourth or a fifth or whatever chance Hugh Freeze is actually on right now. Because who in their right mind has not done a couple missed dials on their phone to random people? Like, let's put some things in perspective. Hugh Freeze might have just been missed dialing some women over and over and over, but who hasn't done something like that?
I'll let Cole clean that one up.
I have frustrated many a friend by accidentally calling them. And actually FaceTiming would be even worse and more embarrassing.
It actually is so perfect because it really is. Like, I do like these moments when we just strip it all down. It's like, yeah, the guy's a good football coach. He wins games. Like, you know, what do you want to say? Is he the best human? Probably not. Like, think we could say that? but he wins football games and he wins and he beats Nick Saban. So yeah, they're going to hire him because at the end of the day, that's kind of all anyone cares about. And it's whether you agree with that or disagree with it. It's also nice to sometimes just have it be laid out like that and just be like, here it is.
All right, Big Cat, before we let you run, so we're talking about coaching, I want to get your thoughts on this. We have a new segment of the show that we have every day called Bad Basketball Box Scores of the Day. Last night, the Georgia Southern women knocked off Agnes Scott College, the Scotties, 126-35. They went 2-23 from behind the three-point line. They were down 63-9 at the half. They turned it over 40 times. What's the Big Cat coaching point when you're down 63-9 at the half and your team is shooting 2-23 from behind the three-point line?
Oh man, I would just tell my entire team foul out. Like everyone try to foul out at the same time. You know, like just and then we'll end the game. Because then it becomes something a real story where it's like we just fouled out the entire team. See if you can foul out the entire team, and then everyone be like, well, it wasn't that they were bad; they just all fouled out. So you change the narrative on it.
That sounds like your approach to your games at the Y.
Yeah, just foul. I got five fouls to give. Let's go. Won't take me long.
That's it.
How many charging fouls?
I'm not a big charge guy. I mean,
spot listen, shooter.
McElroy, can you dunk? Can you dunk?
Could.
Claims to be able
client
to.
Allegedly.
Once upon a time.
If you tried to dunk on me, I would break all your ribs.
Ribs. Rib check. Yeah. The thing is, if I'm dunking on you, you got to be able to get up there to my ribs, which might be difficult for you.
No, I'd take you out of the knees. I would flip you upside down. I'd get real.
You'd go wow. Suplex backbreaker?
I'd be out for, I'd be suspended for 2 weeks.
No rough problem. Rough and rowdy meets YMCA basketball. Right? Just like, there it is. Hell in a Cell match. Big Cat, thanks for the time, man. Great stuff today. Bye, we appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it very much.
Barstool Big Cat joining us here on the Bud Light Hotline. When we come back, the coach, Wimp Sanderson, next.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.